This is Jim Inkster. Coming today, we'll talk about the election of 2014. The November 4th election is now just 26 days away. Yesterday on this program, State Senator Elbert Guillory, member of the Black Caucus, former Democrat from Opelousas turned Republican, turned on Mary Landrieu, the incumbent Democrat seeking a fourth term as U.S. Senator. Responding to Senator Guillory today will be State Representative Ted James, Democrat from Baton Rouge, who was none too happy with Elbert Lee Guillory's remarks on this program Wednesday. Also, Cassie Felder, candidate for Congress with rumors that she may be getting out of the race. She'll come here in a few minutes and tell us if she's in or out. Where we go from here is the 6th District Congressional race. Also is 26 days away. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. Inkster Show at WRKF.org online. And you may tweet us at Jim Inkster Show. Our guest in studio to begin is Ted James, state representative from Baton Rouge, who is listening earnestly yesterday as Elbert Lee Guillory, state senator from the great hamlet of Opelousas, was on here telling people in his wisdom he thought they should not vote for Mary Landrieu for a fourth term for the U.S. Senate with the election 26 days away. Elbert Guillory's YouTube message has gained a lot of attention here and elsewhere, and a snippet of that I think is worth preceding the remarks from Representative James.
You're not Mary's cause, and you're certainly not her charity. You are just a vote, nothing less and nothing more. For her, you're just a means to an end so that she remains in power while you scrounge together food stamps to buy Kool-Aid. She sips champagne at cocktail parties. While you dig through the couch looking for gas money, she flies around in private jets funded by taxpayer dollars. But Mary Landrieu knows she doesn't have to do anything for our community. Because no matter what she does, 95% of us will line up and vote for her every single time. Since 1996, Black unemployment has doubled, and the poverty rate for Blacks has skyrocketed. Mary hasn't helped us.
All right, that's Elbert Guillory in full bloom, now a newborn Republican, the only member of the Black caucus in the Louisiana legislature that is a Republican. And more in this state, we're becoming a state of white Republicans and Black Democrats. Mary Landrieu is one of the last white Democrats standing and the only Democrat elected statewide still remaining in office. Ted James, your thoughts about the remarks from Senator Guillory?
Well, the sad thing is I'm not surprised by his remarks. A bit of a history lesson, Senator Guillory was a Democrat before he ran for office. He changed his stripes because he ran in a heavily Democratic district. So he changed his stripes and fooled the people of Opelousas to be elected as a Democrat and served as a Democrat. And then when the tide changed, he switched over to the Republican Party. So Senator Guillory is one of those folks. He changes with the tide. So I'm not really surprised that he allowed himself to be used by the GOP in an effort merely to suppress the Black vote. And that video, you know, it was very well produced. I'll give the producers that. But it did three things. I know it was a shameless attempt to paint Mary Landrieu in a negative light. But number one, it demoralized his community. Number two, I think it embarrassed himself as an elected official there. If your community looks worse than it did when you're elected, then that's probably some of your fault. And the onus is probably on him. And the third thing it did, it continues to perpetuate some of the negative stereotypes about Black communities and Black people. Not all Black people are on food stamps. And I'm sure that the people of Academy Street take issue with him claiming that they're all digging through the couch for change. And I know that the people of Academy Street would champion Senator Landrieu in knowing that she supports a fair minimum wage. She supports equal pay for those single mothers that he talked about. and she supports expanded Medicaid, things that Senator Guillory doesn't support, things that his friends Bobby Jindal and Bill Cassidy don't support, issues that I believe are important to the people on the Hill and Academy Street. I've spent some time in Opelousas, and I know that Opelousas is not a shameless place. I know that there are people that work there every day. And sadly, some of those people work 40 hours, and they may fall into the gender gap and can't afford health care. But they don't deserve to be demoralized by Senator Guillory because he's used as a puppet for the GOP.
Well, those are strong words. He may be sincere. You seem to be questioning his sincerity.
I question anyone that changes with the tides. I question anyone that says what's popular at a time when it's popular to gain his instant credibility on a certain side of a party. And I don't criticize blacks for being members of the GOP. In fact, I encourage it because I think that they need some diversity, and not just diversity in race, but diversity in their thought processes. And if Senator Guillory is going to be an African American, he should speak some common sense to some of the issues and help them come to the middle in some of their policies, because he might not want to admit it. But in his community, I'm sure that the people of Opelousas can benefit from a fair minimum wage, and the women can benefit from equal pay. Those are issues that Senator Landrieu supports. And some of the issues with Medicaid expansion, he supported it when he was a Democrat. And then when he was a Republican, he changed. So he's flip-flopped on that issue, just like he flip-flops on his party affiliation. I think that it's important when you hear a message to look at the messenger. So you have to question where the words are coming from. I like Senator Guillory. He's a good lawyer from what I hear. We have friendly conversations. He's just wrong on a lot of these issues.
Well, are you going to try to kick him out of the Black Caucus?
Oh, no, we don't want to kick him out of the Black Caucus. We would never do that. But I will tell you that his votes don't align with some of the policies that our constituents ask us to push in the legislature. He talks about the black vote. There was a vote in his committee, Health and Welfare, to put Medicaid expansion on the ballot. He voted against it. That's something that I know. Voter rights is something that's very popular in the black community. And I could guarantee you I'll take a walk down Academy Street with him, and we could visit with some of his constituents and ask them if they support Medicaid expansion. And I would bet you, Jim, that the majority of the people in his district do.
297-5633 if you'd like to talk to State Representative Ted James, a Democrat. I gather you're supporting Senator Landrieu.
Most definitely. I've endorsed Senator Landrieu. And let me say this. Senator Guillory said that Senator Landrieu promised to be a champion of the black community. And I think that she's promised to be a champion of all of Louisiana, and she's delivered. But specifically, and I know that the senator, I haven't spoken with her campaign before I got here, and I'm not attempting to defend her because her record is the only defense that she needs. But speaking specifically to issues facing African Americans, I know in 2003, Senator Landrieu was my commencement speaker at Southern University, and she promised that she would do the best in her ability to help Southern University, and she fought for $800 million in funding for HBCUs. That helped Grambling, that helped Southern, that helped Dillard and Xavier. And while they may be HBCUs, a strong Southern, a strong Dillard, and a strong Grambling is a strong Louisiana. Black farmers needed help. She fought for funding for black farmers. And these are issues that she fights for, not because she knows that she needs black vote, but she knows that these issues are issues that make Louisiana better. When the Republicans and Bill Cassidy were threatening to close the doors of higher education, she stood up and fought for millions of dollars for funding for not only HBCUs, but all of the colleges here. And I think that, you know, it's shameful to hear some of those things from Senator Guillory, because too often we hear those stereotypes, and a lot of the stereotypes that we hear when we talk about young African-Americans and single mothers who are African-American, too many times those stereotypes lead to too many young men being arrested based on those stereotypes. In national media, you've seen young men being murdered just because of the perception that some folks have. And it's sad when Senator Guillory is using those stereotypes in an effort to suppress black vote, when he should be in his district championing some certain issues. He's been in office longer than I have.
But he basically is saying she's disconnected from the black community, and without the African American vote, Senator Landrieu would have lost all three times. She got a less than a majority of the white votes every time in her three quests for the U.S. Senate. Is she really immersed in the African American community as much as she should be, considering the fact that she would not be a U.S. Senator, not once, not twice, not three times, without enormous support, the 95% that Senator Guillory cited in her quest for office?
Well, I guess Senator Guillory is taking for granted African Americans. And I for one think that African Americans are smart. I for one think that we are politically in tune, and I for one think that we vote for people who have time and time again responded to our needs. That's why she gets such a high percentage of vote in the African American community. Do I think that she takes the African-American vote for granted? No, I don't. I will say that I haven't heard from her opponent, and I'm an elected official in his district. I see him running when I go running on the LSU Lakes. I don't see him less than a mile away in South Baton Rouge.
Is he running? Last time I saw him, he was kind of limping.
Well, he runs a little bit. He jogs. He and his lovely wife, I see them a lot. But, you know, I don't see him in the old South Baton Rouge area. But then again, I haven't called to ask him to come, right? So Senator Guillory, I don't know if he's reached out to Mary Landrieu to come to his community. I know Cassidy was there last week, and Cassidy said, you know, when I was a doctor and I cared for people that were uninsured, they lived in communities like this. And I don't know if he was attempting to gain some favor, but Congressman Cassidy, the people that you used to serve, the people that you used to care for, those people are still hurting, and they're hurting because of your policies, and you don't want them to receive health care. And the only way that you lift people out of those certain conditions is to champion issues that will help lift them. A fair minimum wage. Senator Guillory said that won't help black people because black people don't have jobs. Come on, Senator Guillory, where have you been? You've been traveling the country like our governor. You're getting $5,000 to go and have make speeches for the GOP. Roll up your sleeves and walk down Academy Street and fight for some issues that could uplift your community. You've been elected so long. If your community looks worse than it did before you took office, then shame on you. And I think that the people of Opelousas should be not enraged, but should be motivated to elect a senator that's not going to ignore them. You could come to
all
my
right.
district,
you're,
Senator
you're on
Guillory.
Fire here, Ted. James, fired up about Elbert Lee Guillory, who was with us yesterday. And by the way, Senator, if you're listening, please call. We'd love to hear from you again. 297-5633, 877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines with Ted James in just a moment. Inkster Show at WRKF.org online. Paul poses a question, and I think it's a fair one. Is it hypocritical for Senator Landrieu to reach out and receive the support of the African American community when she was a member of an all-white sorority at LSU?
I'm a member of an all-black fraternity from Southern, and I still court white voters. So I don't think that it's fair for her. I don't think that that's a fair question, and she shouldn't ignore a group of voters because of an organization she joined in college. I make it my district is I have a strong conservative base in my district, and I court those voters as well because I represent all of them. And I think that this political season has gotten so nasty, but you have to recognize that we should be talking about issues and what issues are important to you. And I would dare to say that too many of us are being persuaded by the videos. Just check and the political commercials, check their records. You know, if you are for fair wages, if you're for equal pay for women, if you think that people shouldn't be left in a gender gap and they should be given and we should expand Medicaid because it's going to, number one, give people the care that they need, and number two, give money to our hospitals. The hospital in Congressman Cassidy's district almost closed its emergency room. He hasn't responded to it yet. He hasn't said anything.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines after we take a short break. But Ted James, defending passionately U.S. Senator Mary Loretta Landrieu Snelling's proud member of Delta Gamma on the LSU campus. By the way, could I get in your fraternity, Ted? Would they allow me?
Most definitely. We have Caucasian members of our fraternity. I'll show you some pictures on Instagram.
You said you were an all-black fraternity. You got some white guys.
It was founded on the black campus by African-American members, but we have non-African-Americans in the fraternity.
All right. Back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Bit more time with State Representative Ted James, Democrat and supporter of the last Democrat standing in statewide office in Louisiana, Senator Mary Landrieu. Mary downtown, you're on the air with Ted James. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. I do have a question. I find all of this very troublesome, the way people are campaigning today, and I wanted to know his opinion on this. I mean, I don't see these people, including Cassidy, in their neighborhoods going door to door asking people to vote for them. I see all these people on television, and I hear these comments that are being made by this particular person, and I'm thinking to myself, what does this mean exactly? I mean, you know, we can't just go out and vote for somebody because they have an R in front of their name or a D in front of their name. We really don't even know these people. The only thing we know about them is that they're on TV saying things. When are people going to get out and do real campaigning anymore? How do we know who to vote for when we don't even know who these people are?
All right, Ted.
Mary, I agree with you that the tenor of the campaign has gotten extremely negative. You know, I will say that I'm, for one, I support that grassroots level of campaign, and I know that Senator Landrieu and Congressman Cassidy can't reach all of us personally, but that's why debates and forums are so important. Congressman Cassidy has been hiding from Senator Landrieu. He doesn't want to debate her. And I submit that he doesn't want to debate her because he doesn't want you to know his issues because he's too busy campaigning against President Obama. But I think that as a voter, it's important that you check their records, go to their websites, call their offices, and ask the questions that are important to you. Because, you know, I've seen commercials on both sides that, you know, I don't really like. But that's the tenor of the campaign. And I think that when voters stand up and say we want to see more positive campaigning and demand better from elected officials, you'll get better. But, you know, I tend to agree with you of the negative tenor of the campaign. And that's only going to change when voters stand up and say that we want better.
You were born in what year, Ted?
81.
81. So when you were 7 years old, the Democrats had a nominee for president, Michael Stanley Dukakis, who certainly was far to the left of President Obama and his politics. And one of his most passionate supporters at that time, writing letters to the editor, defending Dukakis and attacking President Reagan at the time, was a fellow named William Morgan Cassidy.
Wow.
So he had an epiphany. You're young enough to have an epiphany. 10 years from now, will we have Republican Ted James sitting here?
You will not. And I look at my political affiliation more as like my religion, and my religion doesn't change with the tide. I'm not like my good friend, Senator Guillory. Do I support everything that the president does? No. Do I have disagreements with my caucus members? Yes. Do I have I'm the vice chair of the Democratic caucus. I have some issues there, and I know how to work towards the middle.
All right. Jabon, and tell me if I got your pronunciation right, at LSU, you're on the air with Ted.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, Ted, you've been busy since college. Definitely keep up the good work. I want to know what you think about the recent changes to the Office of the Group Benefits, but I want to give a little bit of context to, you know, starting out.
All right. Well, we don't have time for the context, but what about group benefits?
You know, I wrote a letter to the editor voicing my concerns. You know, I think that anytime you make these drastic changes that affect thousands and thousands of state workers, they are problematic. I think the way the changes were brought about has been problematic. I'm a former state worker, so I support the state workers in their concerns. I will be joining members of the Appropriations Committee asking for a hearing to discuss the rulemaking changes that the division went through. I think that the legislature deserves a chance to vet these rules. We deserve the opportunity to ask questions for our constituents. And if you could go back to the letter to the editor that I wrote in the Advocate, it pretty much spells out my concerns with that issue.
Peter at Perkins Row. Hi, Peter. You're on with Ted James.
Hi. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
Listen, I am a registered Republican, and here's why I support Mary Landrieu. And I want this to be clear. I'm an Afro-American registered Republican. I'm a Republican on taxes and defense. All the other issues is up for grabs. A study was done by Lauren Scott, and this is according to the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association, that oil and gas is $73.8 billion impact, economic impact in Louisiana. That's 2014. Mary Landrieu is the chair of the Energy Committee, which affects oil and gas policy. Has a lot to do with drilling, has a lot to do with the Deep Horizon.
All right, is there a question here?
Yes, and what can Cassidy bring in terms of leadership, jobs, and the impact that Mary Landrieu has being a chair of the committee?
I can't speak to what Congressman Cassidy would bring. Two things. I haven't talked to him about his campaign, and I haven't seen anything that he's done in Congress to lead me to answer that question. But I will tell you that as a state, we can't afford to lose the type of clout that Senator Landrieu has. We know how important the oil and gas industry is to the economic development, the continued economic development of the state of Louisiana, and that's a position that we can ill afford to give up.
297-5633-877-217-5757 for Ted James. Now, Senator Landrieu is against the lawsuit against the oil and gas industry. She and Bobby Jindal are in the same camp on this one. What's your position?
I tend to have a neutral position on it. If you look at my votes in the legislature, I voted on both sides of the issue. I would hope that at some point that we could get to some type of agreement, because what's going to happen is we're going to continue to see lawsuit after lawsuit, and we're going to continue to see issues being brought before the legislature. I was kind of excited about last session because it seemed that all of the parties were pretty much in agreement. And I would hope that at some point they could reach an agreement and not bring it back to us.
Well, the industry admits that it's responsible for at least 36% of the coastal erosion. Should not the industry be responsible for at least 36% of the cost?
If they've admitted, they should be responsible for attempting to help us save the coast. They should be attempting to make payment to those folks that they have harmed. And I believe that they will. I believe, based on my conversations with the industry, that they're moving in the right direction, but time will tell.
Well, sometimes the way to get people to come to the table is to file a lawsuit against them.
Unfortunately, we've seen that all too often in the state of Louisiana here, especially with our education and some of the failed policies of our governor, with Common Core being fought too much in the courts because our governor didn't want to sit down with the legislature and really hammer out a solution. And it's unfortunate that we're seeing so many of our issues fought in the courtrooms, Jim.
Donald in Mid-City. Donald, you're on with Ted James. Hi, Donald.
Hello, Ted. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I just want to start as a premise. I'm a graduate of North Louisiana School, Louisiana Tech, and I'm a member of an all-white fraternity and all-black fraternity. And those things do happen.
Wait a minute. How can you be a member of an all-white fraternity and an all-black fraternity?
I majored in aviation. We had our own fraternity there, and I majored in Alpha Phi Alpha.
All right. Well, what race are you, sir?
I'm black.
Okay, well, if you're black and you're a member of a fraternity, how can it be all white?
It was an all white fraternity when I got there.
Well, it's not all white anymore, but Delta Gamma at LSU, where Mary Landrieu was a student back in the late 70s, it's still all white. 35 years later, they've never had a black member. Is that right?
Right. Well, they never had a black member when I got there. I was the only black in my major.
I don't think you were in Delta Gamma.
No, all right, I would like to get out to get my house. Anyway, I want to talk about Cassidy's using out-of-state Republican dollars to fund his campaign, and so his rhetoric has to be so, but at what point do you think he has to come out and discuss issues that are relative to Louisiana? We have many, and Mary has addressed those, particularly the billions of oil and gas dollars that our vice for fight vigilant.
All right, well, there's a softball. Obviously, Donald believes Mary Landrieu is better suited to count the beans and know how to spend them than her opponent. Philosophically, why have so many Democrats become Republicans in this state? Why is that the case, Ted?
You really want me to answer that question?
Yeah.
Look at the timeline. I think that many Democrats turned Republican when the tide nationally changed. Once our president was elected and we saw a lot of Democrats in other states tend to jump ship, a lot of that happened here in Louisiana. And I know some very good, strong-hearted folks that have changed party. And I have an issue with it because in my race, I ran against four people that had switched parties. The lady I was in the runoff with, she switched party the week before we actually qualified. And I think voters should question those folks, should question their heart, should question their character, because you shouldn't, if your convictions change, things happen. You know, my fiance was Catholic. She's Baptist. So things happen. You grow.
You change.
You learn different. I didn't change her before I met her. She became Baptist. But when you see people like my good friend Elba Lee Guillory, who switches just out of pure political convenience, that's why so many voters have issues with politicians. That's why they question us so much, and that's why they don't believe in the process. And I would venture to say I can't wait for him to run statewide because I want him to truly see.
How about a runoff between Elbert and Kip for Lieutenant Governor?
Oh, that would be great. I would love to see
yesterday,
best dress out of that.
And I'm reminded by a listener here, and he did say it yesterday. Brian notes that Senator Guillory, when he was asked by a listener who gave him the authority to speak on behalf of the black community, his answer was God.
Yeah, I heard that. You know, actually, we have a transcript, and he said that God moved him. And I don't know what God he talks to, but the God that I talk to tells me that when people need health care, we give them health care. He says that what you do unto the least of those among us, you do unto him. So Elbert Lee Guillory, in your policies, what you've done unto the Lord is denied him health care. You've denied women fair and equal wages, and you've denied minimum wage to certain people that need it. So I don't know what God he prays to, but the God that I pray to wouldn't lead me to make some of the political decisions that he's made.
Thomas in North Baton Rouge. Thomas, you're on with Ted James. Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling from North Baton Rouge, and I endorse Mary Landrieu because, in my opinion, she has done the best she can for the black community. And the Guillory comments about Kool-Aid, most of the people in our community who drink Kool-Aid are not politically conscious. And chances are they won't go and vote. I mean, so for him to stereotype us black people as digging in our sofas, really he's losing votes instead of gaining.
All right.
Well, I'll disagree with one thing that you said, that, you know, just because people are poor, they live in poverty, that doesn't mean that they don't vote. That's the message that Senator Guillory was attempting to get across. That's the message of attempting to suppress the African-American vote. And I think that he embarrassed the people of his community by making those comments because, you know, that type of stereotype that because you're poor and the folks on Academy Street are too busy waiting on their food stamps, that's a slap in their face. And that is something that I hope that the voters, if he decides to run for lieutenant governor, if he promoted his own community, what do you think he's going to say about the state of Louisiana? The lieutenant governor is our promoter. He's the one that encourages people to come here. And look what Senator Guillory said about his own neighborhood. You think we want him as lieutenant governor? I think not.
Well, he's not. He's not ignoring the tough spots we have in Louisiana. Governor Jindal, for example, how many times has he been at Southern University since he became governor of Louisiana? How many times has he gone through Scotlandville?
I can't think of one. And I'll tell you this, you know, it's unfortunate. Southern's homecoming was this past weekend. And if I'm running for office, statewide office, a regional office. I'm going to be there to make the ask, because that's probably the largest gathering of African Americans mm-hmm. that you'll have before November 4th. And your absence speaks volumes.
Was Senator Landrieu there?
Senator Landrieu was there.
She was there. Congressman Cassidy there?
No, indeed, no. I don't know how many times he's been there. Congressman Cassidy is my congressman. And aside from the times that I've seen him jogging on LSU Lakes, I haven't seen him in the district at all. Not to say that he hasn't been there, to his credit. And what I said earlier, I've never made the ask. I've never asked him, so that might be a problem that I have. I should reach out to my congressman more.
I bet you could catch him on the lakes.
I probably could, and I have had conversations with him out there with he and his lovely wife, but I won't blame him for some of the issues in my district, like my good friend Senator Guillory.
Dorothy Landrieu in Goodwood. Dorothy, you're on with Ted James. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask you if you find that Bill Cassidy's hypocrisy is just appalling, and that he, too, started off as a Democrat.
All right, we've already addressed that, but in the case of Elbert Guillory, he switched parties a few times. He was a Republican, then he was a Democrat, then he was a Republican again. Some people believe that this is a rather flexible thing, that party affiliation in the long run doesn't mean a whole lot, especially in the state. It may mean more in Congress. Does it really matter what letters behind your name?
I would hope that it wouldn't. And I would hope that the large percentage of voters here in Louisiana identify themselves as independent. And that's the problem with what I see happening with the Cassidy campaign. He's too busy campaigning against the president, and what he's doing is alienating not only Democratic voters, but he's alienating those independent voters that support the president on some things and don't support him on others. And I think the vast majority of voters really look to, number one, the issues that are important to their families, and number two, the individual candidates and their records.
All right. Question from Marie: will having Edwin Edwards on the ballot increase Democratic voter turnout?
I think that having Edwin Edwards on the ballot will increase turnout in general. A lot of the newfound Republicans were Democrats when Edwin Edwards was in office, and a lot of those folks voted for him. Will they vote for him again? We'll see in November. But I think that he increases turnout in general.
Will you vote for former Governor Edwards?
Unless Ms. Cassie Felder, who's sitting here, can convince me to vote for her before I leave. But, you know, I'm going to support former Governor Edwards. I've had the opportunity to, you know, meet with him and talk to some of his opponents. But if the election were today, I would be voting for him.
If the election were today, who's your second choice?
I hadn't made up my mind yet. Probably my good friend, Dan Clater.
Dan Clater?
That's right.
Okay, you're fellow lawmaker from
I've had the opportunity the Baton to work Rouge, with,
Baton Rouge
with
area. Now, he's a Republican, though.
I vote for Republicans sometimes.
Who's the last Republican you voted for?
The last Republican I voted for, let's see. It had to be a judge's race. Susan Ponder.
Ponder. Okay. All right. So Ted James has voted for a few Republicans, and I must say.
And I will in November.
You will?
I will. Some of the judges that I'm voting for are Republicans.
Well, sometimes in this environment, you don't have a choice other than Republicans, because it's become a largely Republican state, although Baton Rouge is hanging in there.
That's right. You know, and I want to point out, when you look at the partisanship, look at the candidates' records. Look at who has endorsed them. Senator Landrieu
has
been endorsed
by Democrats. We're short on time, and I did want to slide this one in before we go to the break and return with Cassie Felder, but are you running for mayor?
I'm not running for mayor. I love the job that I have. I'll take my quote from my friend, Governor Bobby Jindal. I love the job that I have serving the people of District 101.
All right. Well, thank you, Ted James.
Thank you.
And we shall return with congressional candidate Cassie Felder, who says she has a major announcement. What could it be? Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Frank Barnett is producing. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757 outside the area. Inkster Show at WRKF.org. In studio is Cassie Felder, a prominent attorney in our community who's been running for several months for the 6th District Congressional seat. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning.
And welcome back. She was on the show not so long ago, talking about her campaign. And with the election 26 days away, how does it look?
Well, I think as you said in the lead-in, I have an announcement to make. It's not so big of a secret anymore, but I've decided to withdraw my candidacy and endorse Dan Clater. So as Mr. James said, I think that he should reconsider and Dan should be the right choice.
All right. Well, why are you getting out?
Well, for me, the writing is on the wall. Fundraising was not something that I was really trained to do and was really prepared for the type of fundraising that political campaigns entail. And so I just don't have the funds necessary to do the advertising that I need to do to really get my name out. And so rather than continue to split the vote, I wanted to put my support behind a candidate who most exemplified my values and who I think has a real, really good shot at winning mm-hmm. this.
Is your lawsuit against the political firm still
absolutely
in place?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but for the damage that the political firm did to my campaign, I would likely still be in the race.
Now, to refresh the memory of me and listeners, you had hired the political firm to represent you mm-hmm. in this group, then switch to another candidate.
That's correct.
And you say you had an ironclad contract. That's what you are claiming in your suit, right?
Right. We had a non-compete, a confidentiality agreement, all of those things that you would expect that you would have. And so that's essentially what I'm using to sue them with.
And is the firm still representing Garrett Graves?
They are.
They are. And you say your beef's not against Garrett Graves.
That's correct.
But perhaps coincidentally, you're not endorsing Garrett Graves. You're endorsing Daniel Albert Clayburgh.
That's
Clayburgh.
Correct.
Why?
Well, I think that Dan has the right experience, and I think that he's doing it for the right reasons. And I really truly believe that. Not only is Dan a really good guy who's got the knowledge necessary to be great at this job, the people on his team are phenomenal. They are bright. They are driven. And they are all just really lovely people, and that speaks volumes of Dan as well.
What about the issues? Is he in concert with you on most issues?
He is. He is. And I think if anybody had been to the forums, they would see that. In fact, you know, I have a lot in common as far as the issues go with many of the candidates in the race. But Dan, I think, has the best opportunity to win and has the experience necessary to do a really good job in Congress.
Well, it would seem with so many Republicans in the race, and now with you out there, eight remaining?
Seven.
And some big names. It would seem that one of those Republicans will be in a runoff with Edwin Washington Edwards, and the Republican, based on the demographics of the district, would be an overwhelming favorite to win in December. So how do you see it? Obviously, you see Clater is a top contender, but there's some other notable ones, including Garrett Graves.
That's correct.
So how do you see the Republican field right now?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate in politics that that it all comes down really to money. Outside of your message, if you don't have the ability to get your message out and that takes money, then you can't get elected. So you have to look at who's got the most money in the race. And there are, it's Garrett, Dan, Paul, and Lenore Whitney. Those are the four top, when it comes to money in the mm-hmm. race for the Republicans. They're the people that have the money to make, you know, do the advertising, mm-hmm. do what it takes to get their name out. And so those are the top of the field as far as who could possibly mm-hmm. get elected.
Well, now that you're out next to Dietzel, I think you were the tallest candidate in the race.
It's probably true. No, actually, Trey Thomas is quite tall.
Okay. Trey Thomas, one of those of the 12 remaining, the 12 disciples, maybe?
Yeah, with my withdrawal, that leaves 11.
Okay. 297-5633. Tyler at LSU, you're on with Cassie Felder. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just had a quick question. You guys have been talking about the suit against the political firm. And I know in that suit, Ms. Felder, your attorney was Chandler Loop, who actually happened to be Dan Clater's law partner. Could you say that you guys were collaborating prior to your endorsement of Senator Clater? And
All right.
You know, it's funny because it's one of the things that Dan was concerned about when I met with him the first time to talk about endorsing him. And he said, you know, these rumors had been flying around and he was a little concerned with the continuation of that with my endorsement. But no, we were not collaborating. I, in fact, when I hired when I hired Chandler, I didn't know that Dan was his ex-law partner. I knew Chandler from a previous case that we actually had against each other.
So no collaboration, no secret deal. This isn't like Ford pardoning Nixon.
Absolutely not. No.
Okay. Quelly in North Baton Rouge. Quelly, you're on with Cassie. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
And good morning to your esteemed guest. I have one question I would like to ask, if at all possible. Since your guest is a proponent of the Republican platform, and the issue of Obamacare has been front and center in the political arena, I would like to ask if the statistics that show that there are 25% more carriers in the market, and every carrier that's in the market has gained a net profit, what will be the messaging now that is showing that the statistics are showing that the Affordable Care Act is actually helping? And unfortunately for Louisiana, we don't have the medical protection that others.
So, I mean, I don't think that the narrative is going to change from the standpoint of those people who are against socialized medicine. I think that it's a freedom issue, it's a liberty issue, it's an issue about the proper role of government, and I don't think that narrative is going to change based on profits of insurance companies.
297-5633, James at LSU. James, good morning. You're on with Cassie Felder.
Hi, I'm calling Cassie. Just a quick question for you about the race. I just wanted to know, you said you agree with all of Dan's positions, right? And that's why you're supporting him as your candidate?
No, I didn't say that I agreed with all of Dan's positions. I said he is the candidate that most exemplifies my values.
Okay, so I know you ran as one of the more conservative candidates in the race, and that's one of the things that when I was considering my candidate, I really did strongly consider you. That's why it's very disappointing for me right now to see you turn around and endorse the one pro-Obamacare Republican in the race by endorsing Senator Clater.
All right.
I actually haven't discussed Obamacare with Senator Clater. My understanding of his position comes from what he said at forums, and I haven't found his statements to be particularly pro-Obamacare. And so, you know, if Senator Clater is pro-Obamacare, it's something that he and I'll have to talk about because it's not something I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of that either. And as a Republican, I can't imagine any Republican being in favor of Obamacare. That's just the nature of the beast. And Dan Clater is a conservative Republican.
Indeed.
297-5633 is your number. Did you consider endorsing anyone else?
No, actually I didn't. When I decided to do this, it was because I didn't want to split the vote, and I looked at who I thought were the best, you know, who do I think is the best candidate that has the option of winning this. And, I mean, Dan was the clear choice for me.
The clear choice, and he ran for district attorney, lost to Hiller Moore, and beat a candidate supported mightily by Governor Jindal for his state senate seat in Lee Domain, and beat him like a drum, like two to one. Were you in that district at the time?
I was not.
You were not, so you did not vote in that one. But what do you think of Governor Jindal's performance?
Well, I've not been very quiet about the fact that I think that Governor Jindal has caused some issues with communication from the executive to the legislative branch. He's notoriously bad about communicating in general, and I think it's caused a lot of problems, and I think it is why his approval rating is so low.
Is there a Jindal candidate in this race?
You know, I don't know. My perception at the beginning of the race was that Garrett was being supported by Jindal. I have heard that Jindal is supporting Lenora Whitney, but I have no reason to, you know, I have no evidence of that.
It would seem to be one or the other.
Correct.
But the governor has not endorsed in the U.S. Senate race, somewhat surprisingly. He may be waiting until December when he has virtually no choice, but
right.
But based on his track record, I'm not sure, and his poll numbers, I'm not sure somebody would want his endorsement right now.
Right.
So that could be a reason. Edwin Edwards, when his poll numbers dipped when he was in office, he used to endorse people he didn't want to win.
Well, I don't doubt that.
But Governor Jindal is supposedly around 35%, and to hear a conservative Republican like you express disappointment, my guess is that you voted for him.
I did.
Three times? 03, 07, and 11?
No, I was not here in 03. So.
Okay, but you voted for him in 07 and
no,
11.
I wasn't here in 07 either. I was here in 11.
Okay, so yeah. You voted for him instead of Tara Hollis and several others who were on the ballot, but that was not a very competitive race. And one thing we can say, like it or not, we've got a very competitive U.S. Senate race this year, and we've got a very competitive race in the 6th District. It's nice to see differing viewpoints, both parties represented, but that district is now overwhelmingly white and Republican and Republican-leaning. And it would seem that it's a much different district than Richard Baker represented, for example. It would seem that the path is fairly clear for a Republican to win in a runoff.
I think that that's true, yes.
So whoever survives, whether it's Clater or Dietzel or Graves or Whitney or somebody else, they're quite likely going to have a good shot because they have that R behind their name.
Indeed, I agree.
All right, 297-5633. Frank, let's try to get to a few more for Cassie. Barry in Mid-City. Barry, you're on with Cassie Felder.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to ask your guest what she believes is really behind the resistance of our governor and apparently many, many Republicans to increasing Medicaid for our state citizens in such need, please.
I think the issue is an economic one. I think that they're looking into the future rather than present day. And what my understanding of the issue is that in taking additional funds for the program, that we will become responsible as a state for those funds in the future rather than having as much of a federal match.
Ben in Mid-City. Ben, good morning. You're on with Cassie.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Hi.
I was just wondering, basically, as it pertains to experience, where do you think experience as it relates to working in Washington, being familiar with the culture, you know, garners with the candidates? I know Gary Graves has some experience working in Washington.
All right. Does that matter?
Actually, it's the kind of thing that I think people are looking for the opposite of that. I know that Garrett has been very vocal about running as the DC insider. He's been very vocal about, you know, knowing how to play the game, so to speak. I think that people are wanting for politicians to get out of playing the game. They want people who own businesses, people who understand economics, and they understand private sector. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for people who aren't politicians, people who haven't been there and know how to play the game.
Cullen at LSU. Hi, Cullen.
Garrett Graves is a proven conservative Republican that has experience working as an advisor in U.S. Congress already. Why not vote for and endorse someone who is prepared and willing to...
All right. We've got some Garrett Graves callers.
That's no surprise.
Sounding like they're reading from a script.
Again, I'll just sort of repeat, Garrett's platform, you know, when he stands in forums and says, you know, all the parish presidents are supporting me and all the, this, he's very vocal about being the politician's politician, about knowing, you know, how to navigate Washington. And he has said multiple times, I know how to play the game. I ran completely opposite of that. Well, I wanted to be the candidate that wasn't that.
In your previous appearance, your big issue, and you're an expert on the tax system in America, you want to redo it, and you had some ideas that I think are worthy of discussion. Has Clater embraced that?
Yes. In fact, we've talked extensively about it, and we'll continue to. Clater is a fiscal conservative, certainly, and so looking at...
Well, to give the Cliff Notes version, what would you do to the tax system if you could change it overnight?
If I could snap my fingers, I would have the Fair Tax Act enacted, and that is it eradicates the 16th Amendment, which allows taxation of income. It gets rid of the IRS, and it puts in place a national consumption tax at the retail level.
And Clater has signed off on this.
Oh no, I don't. I'm not saying that. We're discussing it. Clater is certainly we're talking about my knowledge on the subject. And but no, I don't know that.
He's
yes,
open mind.
Absolutely.
He's listening to his now most prominent supporter, Cassie Felder. Will you be out on the campaign trail with him?
Absolutely.
Okay. Rick Causey writes, no matter what office he's held, Governor Jindal has spent most of his time eyeing another office. If he should reach the highest office, will his compulsion end? Cassie's not in the Jindal camp, Rick, but I don't know how. Maybe Pope? Maybe if he becomes president, he'll start vying to be Pope. He is a good Catholic, and he has performed at least one exorcism, so he might be a candidate for Pope.
Oh, that would be quite interesting.
All right. Well, thank you, Cassie Felder.
And, my pleasure.
The lead from the show today, Cassie Felder is out. She's endorsed Daniel Albert Clater to be the congressman in the 6th District, and the election is 26 days away. Does this matter? Cassie's got some supporters, and quite likely they take her words to heart. We'll be back tomorrow. For Frank Barnett, I'm Jim Inkster. In fact, Dick Morris will be with us tomorrow. And Dina Martin, the daughter of Dean. Dino, everybody loves somebody sometime. Until tomorrow, stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Inkster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Inkster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.